No, I'm a broken man.
Rick Thomas, host of Yachting USA, a podcast produced by Yachting International Radio. I'm coming to you today from the Palm Beach International Boat Show, and I'm sitting with my friends Amanda and Adam Langley. This is Super Yachts East Coast, Third to the North, Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, and I'm glad you're able to join us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. It's our pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's great. It's great. What? First of all, what a nice winter day we're having here.
You keep saying that. It's beautiful.
Well, this doesn't last very long. Pretty soon it's going to get tropical and miserable again, but right now it's pretty nice.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
absolutely. So you guys help with destinations. You do marina facilities. You're building a business trying to attract large yachts to the eastern coast of Canada.
Yeah, that's right. You've got most of it there, Rick. It's Super Yacht East Coast was born out of the gap we found in marine tourism in our region. There wasn't a focus on larger yacht attraction. Our background is in waterfront development and marketing, so we took those skills and formed them into a business that is focused on developing the East Coast of Canada as a global yachting destination.
And specifically, you guys are out of Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Specifically Halifax, Nova Scotia, the capital of Nova Scotia. It's a beautiful coastal city of about 500,000 people.
Paint the picture. What if you've never been to Nova Scotia, and I've never been to Nova Scotia, but we're going to fix that.
We're going to fix that.
What's the first impression you get when you come into there?
Well, I think the diverse landscapes.
Yeah, it's so hard to put into a sentence because it's so diverse. Each port is a completely different experience. And a lot of, when yachts come there, they feel like they're discovering a place for the first time. There's just so many different experiences.
Nova Scotia is almost an island that has 13,300 kilometers of coastline.
Wow.
So, and that coastline varies in geography and in the culture of the people, the landscapes. We say with each mile you put under the keel, you're almost entering a new experience of rocky Atlantic blue water ocean sailing, an inland sea in the island of Cape Breton on the northern tip of Nova Scotia with 1,000 kilometers of inland. And cruising on the western shore between Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island, you have almost tropical conditions, warm water in the high 70s.
Warm water.
There is warm water
we
in
call
Nova
it
Scotia.
The Med of the North.
Yeah. Wow.
So I think between the geography, the landscapes, and the people that are so diverse, you have a new experience almost every day.
You can be part of a dynamic little city, and then a little while later, you can be in a little fishing community or an anchorage that is completely remote with beautiful scenery.
A land less traveled.
There's a little back in time to it as well. The culture can be pretty laid back, and people like that. If you're coming from a very busy environment, you just can relax and let your guard down a little
bit. Isn't that what that's all about, particularly in this day and age?
Well, as boaters ourselves, which gives us an advantage, we know the area quite well as from our own experiences. Isn't that why you want to have a boat, to be relaxed?
Absolutely. What we do is born out of our passion for boating.
And that's the right reason to do anything.
Yeah.
Yes,
we want to share it because we can't believe more people haven't discovered it.
Well, people tend to be creatures of habit. And so you see that same routine. They're going to do
the milk runs.
The milk runs, yeah. The Martha's Vineyard and the east end of Long Island and all of that. And then run down to the Caribbean, maybe pop over to the Met if you're going to either get a big enough boat to go on your own bottom or a good Dock Express and go over. And those seem to be what's comfortable. Maybe it's because captains know that, so it's easy for them to set that itinerary. They'll continue to look good in the owner's eyes, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where we come in, is to create that confidence to go, especially for a New England itinerary. We're literally just across the street. It's just you keep on going just a little bit further.
Just a little bit further.
Yeah, and we can help, build that confidence. So
well, there's been a kind of a lack of awareness of our region as a cruising destination. I've been coming to the boat shows in Florida dating back to 2011 and spending a lot of time educating the market here on what's available and what infrastructure and services we have to support your itinerary. But it's still a learning curve. And so we spend a lot of time managing expectations so that our visitors know what their experience is going to be supported by. So there aren't any surprises, because the last thing a captain wants is a surprise and a disappointment.
Right.
So we're that confidence builder, as Amanda said.
Yeah, and it's refreshing too, because when Adam first started coming to the boat shows, it was where's Nova Scotia? And now we've migrated to, oh, Supriani's Coast, we've heard of you. So-and-so's been there. He's worked with you. And yeah. It's a different conversation.
Magic.
Now.
I love it. Yes, that's where you want to get to for sure.
Yeah.
Lots of deep water ports, or not lots of ports, but you have deep water. You can accommodate the bigger boats.
Well, there are lots of ports, and Halifax is one of the largest ports on the Eastern Seaboard. So it's a large commercial port with container terminals that can handle. We get calls a lot of times from some of the larger. Mm-hmm. And so it's a limitless draft. And in Halifax, as the capital city, you have a beautiful redeveloped waterfront that can accommodate up to 20 yachts at a time. So the infrastructure is there. But then, as Amanda said, if you want to disappear into a smaller community, a coastal community like Lunenburg, which is on the south shore of Nova Scotia, is a World UNESCO Heritage Site. It's a working waterfront. And that people love that, because yacht is docked in amongst the hustle and bustle of a working
colorful
waterfront.
Colorful little buildings.
Yeah. It's so, you know, as Amanda mentioned, I think there's so many diverse experiences, and our job is to explain those so that people understand that they're accessible and when to come, why to come, where to go, how right. to navigate the regulatory side of things. We want to make it a frictionless experience, to borrow your term.
So,
there you go.
For a lot of these captains, they want to know the ports of confidence. They want to know where they can go,
right.
that they're going to be able to dock, they're going to be able to fuel up, they're going to be able to provision. And so that's where we start the conversation.
You don't want to go to the middle of nowhere and find out you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no resources for you.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's a different experience. We don't have super yacht marinas, so right. and we probably never will. It's not part of the authentic.
That's part of our charm, is the infrastructure that we have is more traditional to the communities that it's located in. So back before the days of transport trucks on roads, our network of transportation were ports, and
right.
so a lot of our ports are very historical. And so we help, and we are waterfront developers as much as we are marine marketers, and we help redevelop these waterfronts so that they may remain authentic to those communities.
So your heritage preservers too.
Well, we are, and that helps the local community, because they see themselves as, you know, represented in that development, and it is the attraction that brings in the yachts, because the animation of your waterfront, the people, the locals, the visitors that all come together at the water's edge, is the experience that attracts everyone to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and we are busy working on developing a coordinated marine network across Atlantic Canada. So it's not just Nova Scotia, it's New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island and Newfoundland. It's a spectacular. They're all spectacular. They all have their own really unique aspects. But what has been missing has been the coordinated effort to bring together this network, so that then you plan your itinerary. You know, there's going to be the consistency in services and infrastructure. And with us in here and with you today, and even in marketing. So we're marketing the product of Eastern Canada as a coordinated effort to attract the global yachting community.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. So, quick question. Cruise ship or large yacht?
Large yacht, of course. Or small yacht, any recreational boat. The impact that the yachting sector has on destinations established and emerging is incredible. And a lot of the work that we have to do is educating our communities and even government at home about the impact that the yachting industry has on destinations. You have a 50-meter yacht, such as we're on today, this beautiful, pull into a small coastal community in the Northeast or in Eastern Canada, stay for a few days. They're spending tens of thousands of dollars per day on provisions, on services, on experiences.
Right.
The crew is spending. It is an incredible opportunity. And if it's managed, then the visitor is going to feel like they're benefiting to this community. The community is deriving a benefit from the vessel. And it just becomes this really nice economy of yachting.
It's a synergetic economy.
It is. It's symbiotic in many ways.
Right.
And we find a lot of the boats that are visiting our area are helping us develop the region. We work with a lot of captains who are really enthusiastic.
They become really passionate about it.
Yeah,
they feel like they're part of this.
You would expect that.
Yeah.
We find that so rewarding, because when everyone sees themselves in the product that we're developing, we all win.
Right. So I've noticed in the last decade and a half in this industry, there's been a shift where more and more owners are either converting OSVs or commercial vessels into go-anywhere expedition vessels, or they're building from scratch a purpose-designed expedition-type vessel. And as I'm listening to you guys talk, it's occurring to me that if you're planning a big trip, and you want to either head to Europe, you know, the long way and go up. I had a client I was working with last summer that was planning a circumnavigation. His plan was to leave Florida, go up the East Coast, eventually get over to Greenland, move around, and then hit the Scandinavian countries before completely different itinerary than most coming across the Atlantic Ocean. And so many people plan the big loop, and or with the upside, I guess, of the ice pack receding a little bit is the ability to go
the Northwest Passage.
Northwest Passage is opening up a little bit. So you guys are strategically in a sweet spot there too, right?
Yeah.
We really are. And we do have a number of yachts that are using Nova Scotia as their staging point to do the Northwest Passage or Greenland. And so it's very strategic, but and Amanda mentioned this earlier, it's a continuation of the Northeast U.S., New England and Maine and Nova Scotia. It's a connected coastline, but we also have a connected history. Nova Scotia and the New England states have been together and apart and over the years and have had significant ties, especially through marine trade. And we see this as just a way to reestablish a lot of those synergies.
I think it's interesting because whenever a yacht comes, one of the things, besides that we've discovered this place, they always say, I wish I had have gotten in touch with you earlier. I wish I had have allowed myself more time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there was all this to see.
Well, that goes back to... Yeah, that's a really good point. And I actually grew up in the tourism industry. My parents ran an inn, and we had this problem with people who would visit by land. It's like, oh my goodness, I thought I could come to Nova Scotia and see it in 2 days. And if you look beyond Nova Scotia to eastern Canada, there's over 43,000 kilometers of coastline. You could spend years exploring.
And it's not developed, a lot of it, too. It's...
Yeah, well, I mean, if you are into wildlife and nature, I mean, incredible opportunities. We have people who have just come and based an itinerary on the owner wanted to see puffins, which is a particular type of bird that lives largely off the coast of Newfoundland. There's whales are a huge, diverse number of species in the Bay of Fundy, which has the highest tides in the world, which a lot of people get concerned about.
You would think so.
So these are some of these stereotypes or myths that we have to debunk. So sure, you have a 50-foot tide in the Bay of Fundy. That does not affect the rest of the region. We will direct you to those ports that are still, what we say, stay wet at low tide. So your hull is going to be afloat. But these are really important things. When you have a place that is known as having the largest number of shipwrecks in the world, a captain's thinking probably this might not be the most advantageous itinerary, but that goes back to obviously the days of sail. But these are things that are really important for us to communicate and to have people feel comfortable.
Although those that know me know that I'm a very avid deep technical diver. So you could market those shipwrecks as a big attraction to bring guys like me up there, guys and girls like me to.
And they're treasure ships. Yeah. There's the fortifications, what's called Louisbourg in Cape Breton, where large French ships were sunk in the harbor, and there's still some treasure to be found.
Rick's coming. He's coming.
I'm on. Okay, we've got to figure it out. My DPV's on charge. We'll be ready. No, this is cool. Now, does the Canadian government support you in any way in trying to advocate for the tourism, advocate for the region, or are you on your own?
We're on our own. There's a smaller version of ourselves on the West Coast as well in Victoria, and we spent some time collaborating.
I'm on the positive one.
This is just a new industry for our region within the super yacht sector. Like, we have recreational boating. There's lots of boats in our area. But when it comes to attracting the larger yachts, we are leading. So we're on our own, but we're leading and we're gathering momentum. We're getting partners. Our tourism departments don't quite understand it at our provincial level, but we have regional tourism groups for which we're representing here today that do understand it and are seeing the impact and are supporting as partners and helping raise this awareness.
I think when you're entering a new industry, a lot of people need to, they're visual about it.
Sure.
So they want to see how it's going to play out. Whereas we've been involved in this industry on this end and we know.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a...
Well, that confidence helps because
Yeah,
and people pick up on that.
But we get asked, there's the chicken and the egg scenario, or there's the build it and they will come. And actually, the build it and they will come has been, in my experience, very successful because we have developed a lot of infrastructure.
So we were talking about destinations and bringing boats up into Halifax in Nova Scotia. And again, I wanted to just revisit the idea of what it's like to bring a boat in, what their experience is when they come in, what they have to look forward to, where they're going to go. What is the attraction?
Do you want to start?
Oh, the attraction, I think, is the diversity of experiences So you've got your beach experiences, you've got your fishing communities, gorgeous scenery, rugged coastline, authentic experiences, seafood, history. I mean, you've got it all.
It's all there.
Yeah.
I think that speaks to once you're ashore. And I think because we're talking about yachts and we want to put those yachts to work, it's the diversity of the seascape, as I would call it as well. Like you have the blue ocean water sailing of the Atlantic coast. You have an inland sea inside the island of Cape Breton at the northern tip of Nova Scotia with 1,000 kilometers of inland cruising. You can basically come in through a canal and out through a channel. So you go right through this island. On the western coast of Nova Scotia, between Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island, you have some what they call the warmest waters north of the Carolinas, swimmable waters, high 70s in July and August through up to September. So I think there's a lot of, as Amanda mentioned, the diversity of every day is different. Whether the people you meet or the wildlife you experience, the scenery is constantly changing. It's a small geographical area. I think it has just an overabundance of diverse experiences to be found and discovered.
Isn't that part of the passion? The reason that we have these discovery vessels and these expedition yachts?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, Nova Scotia and Atlantic Canada. Atlantic Canada is made up of four provinces, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland. And these places are amongst the last places to be rediscovered because they were discovered hundreds of years ago in the days of sail. But explorer yachts and this new genre of exploring, this area is so ripe for it. And what's also really cool is you're experiencing the eastern coast of Canada. And we're the real East Coast, like Toronto and Ontario say they're the East Coast. We're the actual East Coast, you can get
they're
inland, but you can visit the Toronto East Coast and in Ontario. We love you up there. but you're coming through Atlantic Canada and into the St. Lawrence Seaway. And that's just another incredible experience. And like, between Newfoundland and the entrance to the St. Lawrence Seaway, you have fjords like the Saguenay River, and this off to St. Lawrence is almost a long fjord. Newfoundland has fjords.
Wow.
So if you want to stay in North America, which we want to encourage boats to do, because this is part of our...
There's lots to explore here.
This is another reason to keep your boat in the Northeast U.S.
Well, let me say this. You are transiting to another country, but you are still enjoying the language, the culture, traditions of North America. So it's not experience.
Yeah, we might have a funny accent here and there.
So we're told.
It is interesting that you will experience a lot of different cultures in Atlantic Canada, from traditional indigenous cultures to Scottish, French, German. And then there's like six different varieties of French. But you do have the consistency of basic necessities and stuff are often not foreign.
Yeah.
In coming in, is customs an issue? What's involved in clearing in? And then once you've cleared in, are you free to roam at will?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work with Canadian Border Services over the years to familiarize themselves with the industry of yachting and how they are a huge part of that service. And we've had been very successful in having them deliver a good experience. And so it's rather, as long as your paperwork is in order, it's fairly seamless entry into Canada. And then you're able to cruise multiple provinces in Atlantic Canada and even go to France.
Yeah.
Because
really? Well,
you actually go to France because there is a French territory maintained by France off the coast of Newfoundland.
Saint-Pierre-Miquelon.
I did not know that.
So you can go to two foreign countries on one itinerary, which is pretty cool.
Twofer.
And then if you do go up through the Great Lakes or in sort of up through the St. Lawrence and enter into the Great Lakes, you can come back into the States as well. So it's an underdiscovered part of the world, but we are seeing.
And I think that's part of the charm.
Yeah. Right.
People really do feel like they're discovering it and they're seeing something that's so exciting nobody else has seen it.
Right.
Nobody
else has experienced it. And every day looks a little different than the day previously.
Yeah, but to give captains and owners confidence, we are working with a lot of ports across Atlantic Canada to help educate them in this, how to provide the services to this industry and the appropriate infrastructure. So floating docks and appropriate power and Wi-Fi and other necessities that a yacht expects at these ports. And we're really working to connect these ports through a marine destination network that we're cultivating across Atlantic Canada. So there's a bit of a consistency in the services, but the experience is constantly changing based on where you're going.
So let me ask you this question. Yacht charter. Are there restrictions on chartering, or how does that work when you get up?
We get a lot of questions about charter.
I bet you do.
Yeah, because it's just not something that's done with any regularity in Canada with yachts.
There's a lot of misconceptions, too. People think that it's... legal or not possible?
Yeah, so the simple answer is you can charter in Canada. The complicated answer is that it's a complicated process. So it's best to reach out to an organization such as ourselves, Superyacht East Coast, who can help navigate the layers of bureaucracy, frankly, that are required to have the boxes checked.
Right.
And then once you check those boxes and are approved for what's called a coastal cruising license, you can charter in Canada. And we've been successful in helping yachts to achieve this license.
Does the flag matter?
Everything presents a challenge.
Right.
So there are certain flags that are easier to, and I'm not a maritime lawyer, and we work with one who does helps navigate these processes, but there's an advantage to American flagged vessels and American built vessels, because there's part of the North American Free Trade Agreement that comes into play around that piece. So if there are questions on that, we're more than happy to navigate those questions to those folks that are our partners that can answer those.
Traditionally, most of the yachts that have been coming are owner.
Yeah, I would expect
owners
that,
are on
probably.
Board. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that kind of a destination where, you know, perhaps you want to be a little bit selfish about it.
Yeah.
It's my boat. I want to go there and see it for myself.
There is a little bit of that, but it's definitely an opportunity as we work to develop the kind of the broader marine tourism industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Love it. So what's next for you guys? Where do you see this going, and what's in your future?
So we joke all the time. It's like we're building a business while we're developing an actual industry. So we're like the forerunners on this marine tourism opportunity. We'd like to see more partners become involved so that it becomes more of a robust product of Atlantic Canada and Eastern Canada.
It's just Adam and I right now.
We feel like
our team is going to be growing.
But what's what we love about the superyacht industry, and I've been involved in the industry dating back to 2011, and it's like a family.
It's very supportive.
And everyone seems to get behind opportunities. So we've had a tremendous amount of support and lots of, including our good friends at Westport here today, who have been very generous.
Westport's love Nova Scotia.
Yeah, very gracious in providing this venue for us. And where we see this going is Nova Scotia and Atlantic Canada will be, experiences will and services will be elevated to satisfy the market and create that confidence that it is a global yachting destination. And from that, we have a number of other really exciting products in the works that we'll love to come back and talk to you more about as we bring them online.
We will certainly have those conversations. I'll throw in my two cents to say this is an industry of relationships and people. And once you come into this industry and understand this is an industry of relationships and people, I tell people if you've been in it for any period of time, you're at 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a two-edged sword. If you're a scoundrel,
you're going to get outed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Absolutely. But if you do your business well and you are there to, I continue to use the term do well for others and be benevolent in how you conduct your business, the world's your oyster. There's so many opportunities here and there's so many people that are willing to help and promote and move things forward. So you're in a good place and sounds like you're coming from a wonderful place.
And that you're going to have to come visit.
I intend to.
Our favorite things is if we do work with a boat, we always end up being friends with them afterwards. Like that is part of the sort of the gem of this industry.
Yes, absolutely. And what's funny, you mentioned Westport and there's a lot of them up there. And this sounds to me like if you've been to the Pacific Northwest, it's stunning. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So these boats are comfortable in those types of water. So it makes sense they'd be on the East Coast in similar types of environments.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And again, a shout out to Westport Shipyards because Westport has sponsored Yachting USA this week while we're here in Palm Beach. And we appreciate that very much. Adam, Amanda, I really appreciate you sitting with me and having this conversation.
Yeah,
I wish nothing but bright futures for you guys and look forward to reconvening this conversation in the future and talking about how well things have progressed and what's happening again up in the East Coast of Canada, Superyachts East Coast. And I'll get that right forever. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. It's been our pleasure.
It's my pleasure. This is Rick Thomas, host of Yachting USA. And we will look forward to speaking to you guys again in the near future. And until then, I'm out of here.